It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. Happy to be rejoined by Milk Carton Kids, Joey Ryan, and Kenneth Patengill. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thank Thanks you. For having us.
The road goes on. You know, Joey and I were doing a quick analysis earlier of how many dates, both recognized and unofficial, that you've done, and we came up with a total of a lot.
Yeah.
Scientific total, pretty much.
Sky called me out because I've been going around saying, as a round approximation, that it's 500, but he said it's got to be more, and I think that's right.
Yeah, 434.
434 as the Milk Carton Kid.
Does this count today? Why doesn't this count?
No, this doesn't count. We're not getting paid.
Oh, okay. I'll give you a buck. It's 435.
Hey, some of those other shows we didn't get paid either, though.
Some of those $2, one each. You both did good.
Right.
Some of those early ones in that 434, we didn't necessarily get paid either, but we were maybe supposed to have been paid.
Yeah.
Or if it had gone better, maybe we would have gotten paid.
You hadn't learned the half up front, half at the end of the show thing yet.
Yeah, right. No, it was just an arrangement. If 20 people turn up, we'll pay you for 10 of them. But we didn't figure out what would happen if like 4 people turned up.
We pay you for none of them.
None of them.
So speaking of touring and the new album Monterey, which comes out in 3 weeks on May 19th, you recorded the album, half of it at least, while on the road at shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the venues, yeah. Right. The venues where where we were going to play that night, yeah. So there was no audience. It's definitely not a live album, but we did want to make it in venues instead of in studios.
When you had that idea, or I'm assuming it was a premeditated idea.
Yeah, this Kenneth called me one day and said we got a 55 city tour coming up. We should write and record the album on the tour, and so we'll be done with it by the end of the tour.
Was there any thought given to venues you had played that you liked the sound of the room?
No, we just said all the venues.
So it was.
Well,
let's
I guess
see
there
what
were
we
still some. Yeah. Yeah, there were still some on that tour that weren't appropriate to the recording, so I guess we didn't record in every single one of them, but almost all of them.
Yeah, like the Paradise Rock Club in Boston is not really a great room to record in.
Or like the Mucky Duck in Houston. They serve dinner during your sound check, so we didn't really...
No, that won't work.
Yeah, get to record.
God was in the silence of the night, in the arms of the one I love, staring at the ceiling up above, like it contained the secrets of the stars. Anytime I ever woke up in a dream, I see my shadow there staring back at me, moving through the walls and wondering, all the world rose up inside of me. And I long to hear the melody that one time played inside my mind, and to love another helplessly, so breathing feels like putting out a fire. Anytime my flashes in front of me, see a child there as if on a screen, standing in the shadows flickering. For a moment I know what it means. All this time I lived inside a memory, daylight creeping in through a crack in the weathered seam, severing the ties and trembling, losing all the voices in the wind. And I long to hear the melody that one time played inside my mind, and to love another so breathing feels like putting out a fire. Mm-hmm.
Monterey, the album, the songs, we've talked about the recording process, the approach to recording, the live shows, you know, in a studio, on a stage. It would seem that the sense of on stage is where you're most at home. What about the songwriting that goes into it? How much of that was done on the road? How much of it was done more premeditated? Do you have a more premeditated approach to
it? Well, no, it's very, I mean, it very much happened on the road, not necessarily because that was, not because that brought forth something particular, but because it's a natural extension of us trying to not be so damn precious about it all. I think that's what we've realized over 5 years, is that the less precious we can be about it, and if we can try to follow a good, strong work ethic and try to do good work and evaluate everything on its own terms, that's what seems to bring the most pleasing results. And, you know, I think that's that guides everything that we're going for. You know, in the modern landscape of music and what selling music is and mm-hmm. what selling concert tickets is, all of these different factors, I feel like the best thing anybody can do for themselves, antithetical to like popular business practice, is the best thing people can do for themselves is resist the intention to try and be more broad. I think that's what everybody wants. That's what everybody's knee-jerk reaction to trying to do better business is, and I think it's completely the wrong approach. If you can focus in on something that you can offer truly to your audience, your time is much better spent focusing your energy there. And I think that's what a lot of these songs were. There wasn't any broad intention of trying to make something that's, you know, stands as a greater piece of work. It's not trying to advance any kind of agenda that we've had fueling our band. The prompt was, let's try to write 3 to 5 minute songs that we really like to play and we aren't going to get sick of, and maybe have the capacity to touch people.
another poetic foreword by Joe Henry.
Yeah. I mean, keeps getting better, huh?
It's like scripture.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, for those of you out there.
You should read his grocery lists.
Joe Henry has done forewords before, and he's done it again on this album.
Yeah.
And it's a very strong document. I mean, that guy is, we're mentioning, evangelizing. Wow.
Yeah.
Heavy cat.
He is. I enjoy his prose writing as much as any of his other artistic output, and I really like his songs too. But I've been flattered in the three albums that he's written the forewords to, he's focused in more and more, one from one album to the next, on the actual lyrical content of the songs. It seems like in the beginning he was sort of fascinated with the chemistry between us, or the blend between us. He describes it, the disappearing of our two voices into one common perspective. And the forewords have become less and less focused on us as people and more focused on the characters that inhabit the songs, which I think is flattering.
Yeah, I'm a true collaborator on that front. We might even have to start cutting them in on the zero money we make off of distributing our music.
I'll work out a deal where he can get 33% of zero.
Yeah.
And see if he bites.
Right.
Plans to get back out on the road for how long this time?
Yes, indeed. We have a summer full of, well, half full, I'll say, of festivals throughout the U.S. and Canada. And then we have one trip to Australia. By the time we get back to the U.S. for early September, we'll kick off, 45 shows?
Yeah, another 45 or
45
so.
45 shows across North America in the fall.
And your mode of touring, the last time we spoke, you guys keep it as simple as you can keep it. Is that still the case?
We're trying to actually get more simple.
How can you possibly get more simple?
Well, we've ditched three of our four microphones in favor of just performing on one microphone every night.
Joey leaves his personality back at the hotel.
That probably like really cuts back on overhead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just cabin space alone, we get so much more air back.
Well, yeah. I think we've certainly talked about
everything.
I Not everything, but enough. That's for sure.
That's damn, for damn sure, we talked about enough.
So welcome back, and we celebrate the release of Monterey on May 19th. It's the milk carton, kids, everybody.
Thanks, Guy.